good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be back in the studio with my beautiful sister, Tara, and her curly hair. Last week, we were talking about from her Bible study that's still in progress, wishing forward 7 moments Jesus prayed. It's amazing. And Tara storied 2 weeks ago from Luke chapter 3. And then last week, we talked about how Jesus was affirmed by God through a dove. And today we're going to talk about the voice of God.
Mm. You know, this is amazing. The whole act of Jesus' baptism. And just by way of remembrance, let's just recap in that John was preaching and he looked out amongst the people and he saw Jesus coming towards him. And Jesus had traveled all the way from Galilee for John to baptize him. And as Jesus was near him, John's, you know, why have you come to me? And Jesus says, in order to fulfill all righteousness now, let it be. And so he consents. And as he's baptizing Jesus, Jesus prays. As Jesus comes up out of the water, John sees coming from the sky a dove descending down as the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. And then it says that heaven opened up and the voice of heaven called out. And he spoke, the voice of heaven spoke, and he says, you are my son whom I love and I am well pleased. And that finishes up really the baptism. And I'm astounded because there's so much that happens in this moment that it would be so easy for us to quickly pass over what has occurred. And I started flipping between the different gospels because it says heaven opened. And then I went to the Greek. And depending on which gospel, some of the gospel accounts use the word open, which is agaro in Greek. And Mark, however, Luke uses agaro, which is to open. Mark used the word schizo, which is to split. And which the schizo is the same term that is used when it says that when, you know, Jesus dies on the cross and the veil is split in two, that's a schizo. And so there's a lot of important symbolic imagery happening with this opening up of heaven. And I started asking myself, well, where does Scripture say in other places that heaven opens up? And I started writing out different passages. And so, Sabrina, I want you to turn to Isaiah 64:1.
Of course. Love Isaiah.
Isaiah is so awesome.
So rich.
He is. There's so much that is quoted from Isaiah by Christ.
There's 25 Old Testament prophecies in the just in the book of Luke.
Yeah. It's so rich. Okay. Isaiah 64, verse 1. I want you to read that for us. And it provides us a picture of a schizo. Go ahead.
Isaiah 64, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
If only you could tear the heavens open and come down so that mountains would quake at your presence.
Okay, Isaiah is the longing for, this is what they call an apocalyptic imagery, which is a focused in on Christ coming back. And that just open up the heavens and the mountains will shake because we just come. It's just like your that presence. Come, Lord, come, that presence of God, desiring and longing for that. And then John 1:32-33, turn to that one. And this is John's description of what happens at Jesus' baptism. So let's just read it from the other translation. John 1:32-33.
And John testified, I watched the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, the one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So this is John's description of Jesus and how the heaven opened up and the dove came down. And then turn to Psalm. Well, I'm going to read this one because I've got it in God's Word. God's Word translation, I don't think you have that.
Mm-mm.
Listen to Psalm 18:9. It says, he spread apart the heavens and came down with a dark cloud under his feet. Okay.
I love that. Psalm 18:9.
Psalm 18:9. Do you have it? Let's see what it says in the different translation. Okay. That was God's word.
He parted the heavens and came down, a dark cloud beneath his feet.
Okay.
They use the word parted.
Yeah, it's the word parted. And so this visible parent of the ripping open of heaven. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, and then the ripping open of heaven so that the voice of God will speak. And it's just an incredible opportunity, communication of how God the Father wanted to make this known. So what is it? Let's read exactly what God says about him. Now turn to Luke. Let me see. I didn't have it marked. I want you to turn to Luke 3, verses 21 and through 22. And read that passage to us, Sabrina, so that we can look at this section to see what the Spirit of God looked like and what he said specifically.
So Luke 3, 21 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved son. I take delight in you."
Okay. Are you reading the message?
No.
Which translation?
I'm reading the Holman Christian Standard.
Holman Christian. Okay. The NIV says, "You are my son, whom I love." Her translation says, "You are my beloved son." So it's, "You are my son, whom I love," or "You are my beloved son." It's saying the same thing, okay? With you, I am well pleased. And yours says,
I take delight in you.
I take delight in you. Okay. Let's just sit here for a second. Okay. The voice of heaven. Heaven splits open. They've seen the Spirit descend mm-hmm. upon him, and that is the affirmation of his presence, authority of being in. As if that dove's not enough, the voice of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the father of the son, says, "You are my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased." Is that not beautiful?
I could not imagine being there. I couldn't imagine. Just
why anybody was, why doesn't scripture tell us they all fell, dropped dead, you know, terrified on the floor? You know, this is one time, usually when an angel of the Lord speaks or something, this is the Father of heaven, creator of heaven and earth, speaking forth about his son and saying, "I love you. You are my son. I love you, and I am pleased with you."
He's so happy and delighted in the fact of obedience, in the choice of obedience.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
I'm sure he wants to open up heaven and talk to each one of us like that when we choose obedience.
What does this tell us about the Father?
He's so intimate, so personal, and so encouraging and loving. And he wants to, he just wants his child to feel special and loved. And, you know, when you love somebody, you want to show them off.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing them off.
Yeah. And making known truth.
Yeah. All at the same time.
Oh, huge. Okay. What do we learn about Jesus in this passage? Who is he to the Father?
He's a son.
Okay. And who is he to the Father as far as his affections?
He's a loved son.
Yeah. And not only
is he well pleased.
So he up to this point, 30-something years, 30 to 33, commentators debate back and forth, okay? Somewhere between 30 and 33, 29 to 31, 32, somewhere in there, okay? He's never sinned. Now, think about the teenage years, hormones, toddler years. Not once. All those years.
Who was sin? You know sin.
Innocent. Perfectly pleasing to the Father. And it's time for his presence to be made known on this earth. God didn't do it at 12 when he was in the synagogue and Mary and Joseph were looking for him. And they didn't do it in his 20s. You know, his 20s are not spoken about in scripture at all. We're told about him at probably a teen. 12 to 13, mm-hmm. when he wasn't with his parents. We don't hear anything again until Jesus at this moment when he's 30-something years old. Wow. And it's time for his ministry to begin. The Father uses visual, mental, emotional, social, physical, and spiritual image so that people will know for certain who he is. Mm-hmm. He says, my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased. There is no person on the face of this earth that proclaims to be a prophet, a leader, religious, secular, in any form, that can claim the same thing. None. Jesus is the only one that has had the heavens open up and a voice speak about him. Mm. That puts a stop to any other
false prophet.
Yeah. And people were there and they got to hear the voice of God.
That's why there's such jealousy.
Is that amazing?
With the Pharisees.
The voice of God spoke.
No. The word of God speak.
I'm like, this to me was like amazing, you know, that, and so.
I never sat and thought about that, the word, that the heaven opened. I knew that he spoke, but I didn't think about the heavens opening. What does that look like?
I don't know, but how does the split have to happen just so the voice could get through? It just.
I mean.
Wow.
Did everyone hear in the whole world his voice?
It says that right here. And as he was praying, heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. And with you, I am well pleased. We're not told who heard. But it does say when all the people were being baptized. So people were present and they got to see and hear and experience the truth of this situation.
The mystery of God.
Isn't that awesome?
Such the mystery.
You know, and why, it's just an amazing, not even why, it's just amazing, the power of God and the constraint of God. But the affirmation of God on his son is very clear. Mm-hmm. And there is no doubt on the mind of anyone that he is the son of God.
No.
Because the voice of heaven spoke.
Right.
This is not something that could have been created or
can't
manifested.
Deny.
No.
Right.
It was very, very real. And so Psalm 2:7 says, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. This psalm is one of the messianic prophecies looking towards this moment. Psalm 2:7 in the NIV. And so it is supporting what happened, okay? And it's looking towards Jesus coming as the Redeemer. And it says, you know, the decree that the Lord said, you are my son, and today I've become your father. Mm. And so before this ever happened, it was decreed by a psalmist before it ever happened. Now, let's take this a little step further. I want you to think on something else. Jesus is 30-something years old. Prior to his birth, we had 400 years of silence. Okay, think about that. 400 years of spiritual silence. So 30-something years into Jesus' life, we have in that 30 years, John is the forerunner, who is a prophet of God, now proclaiming truth when they've not had a prophet for 400 years. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. One who I am not fit to carry his shoes is coming, and I baptize you with water and repentance. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. So we have a prophet, a man, a physical person on earth proclaiming Christ's coming. But that's not enough just to have a man speaking. We have a dove descending when heaven splits open and revealing Christ has come in presence as a dove. The Holy Spirit comes. Not only is that not enough, but the voice of heaven proclaims, mm-hmm. you are my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased. This is probably the most majestic announcement ever made in all of mankind before anyone's ministry. He's been affirmed by both God of heaven and man on earth to reveal who he is. He used both means. So we had the physical and the spiritual. And can you imagine what it was like for the people standing there after 400 years of silence to be able to see and experience that?
Well, so it's such a show of the Trinity.
Yes,
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The God and Jesus. It was like a triune experience right there for all those people.
Yes.
You got everything.
And I'm very proud of you, Sabrina, because that's one of the teaching points in the lesson that we haven't gotten to.
Sorry.
No.
Moving ahead.
No, that's the power of the Holy Spirit in you, because you caught the visual. That's exactly it that was being proclaimed and portrayed for the people to catch. The Spirit of God is who reveals that. And so it was the triune revelation of God here on earth, Emmanuel.
Yes.
God with us. I know, you want to sit in awe.
It's an awe. That's exactly what I want to do. I just want to praise God.
But we're not allowed to sit in silence because we're recording a radio show.
Oh, glory to God.
I'm just wondering how many people out there have never really thought about Jesus's baptism on this level. I think that
I haven't.
These two sentences are so short.
I honestly, until you just said that, and I'm so grateful because we were supposed to record on Friday, and this is how God is amazingly wonderful. And I actually meet with a group tomorrow, and we're in this passage, and I get to share. I mean, we're in Luke 3-8, and
that's
I get to share the fruit of your
Of the word of God.
Of the revelation that God's given you. I get to share that with women that are just a couple weeks into the word in their whole life.
So instead of waiting until they're 20, 30 years into it, like us, they can, you know, be,
they get to know now what I'm learning.
I love it.
So anyways, it's a blessing. I love God's word, and his timing is perfect.
He is amazing and faithful.
Yes. So praise you, Jesus.
As you are sitting out there and listening, I don't know what your life circumstances are or how you have drawn near to God, whether or not you have even drawn near to God. But I know this, that he promises us in James 4:8 that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And just as he made his affirmation known to his son, he wants to affirm us that he loves us as well. And if you just would just turn to God and say, God, show me your love, he will make that clear and evident to you. I promise. God bless.